Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. So in 2018, Pew Research Center did a poll. So this is a little old. It said 20% of adults in the United States get their news from social media. 16% get their news from newspapers. I have a feeling that might even be lower now. 26% say they get it off the radio, 33% get it off of news websites, and 49%, almost 50%, get it from TV. And I don't know if you know this, but where you get your news really can affect your opinions. Because when they give the news, whoever or wherever you're getting it, they bring in their own biases. Now, I don't know if that was as true in the past, but nowadays it definitely seems true. It seems like whatever you're listening to, you can almost say, I feel like they want me to believe something. If you don't believe me, it's getting into political season again. I'm sure we're all just thrilled. But when their big news story comes out politically, just go two places. Go to like MSNBC and see what they say about it. Then go to like Fox News and see what they say it. And I'll tell you, it not only are there going to be different opinions that you hear, it's going to almost feel like the facts are different, which is really confusing. Now, I think we all understand that this is happening, but I kind of think we all wish that people admitted it, said, this is what I think, this is where my bias is, and then it's like, okay, I'll take what you say with a grain of salt. But the thing is, where you get your news will affect everyone. It will affect what you think about things. So then I want to ask, not only where do you get your news, where do you look for guidance on what to do with the news you get? Who or what do you trust when you need direction or advice on what you're supposed to do? When we're young, where do we get our direction from? Usually our parents. I mean, let's be honest. Our parents. Then later on in middle school and high school, we'll still listen to our parents, but we are influenced greatly by our friends. For those who attend college, there's going to be lots of new ideas from professors or different books you're going to read, just all different kinds of people that are going to lead you in all kinds of different directions, some good, some bad. But of course, then later on in life, if you fall in love with someone, their opinions, their advice are going to shape your thoughts a lot. And I'm asking, what do you think influences you the most today? And who influences your values and your opinions? And because we're Christians, I have to ask, what role does the Bible play in making your decisions and in learning new information? When you have a big decision to make, do you Google for an answer? Or do you pray about it? Do you do a little of both? When you're looking for guidance, do you ask your closest friend? Or do you make sure that you're asking a Christian friend for advice? According to our church constitution, the Bible, well, this is what we believe, that the Bible is the inspired word of God, and it is to be the sole authoritative source and norm of our proclamation, our faith, and our life. In other words, the Bible is supposed to be our only authority, our main authority, and the source of the things that we believe, the norm, the things that make us normal, that normalize things, of what we say, what we believe, and what we do. Okay? So the Bible is to be our only authority and the source and norm for what we say and what we believe and what we do. Going through the Bible, or to 2 Timothy now, we're getting close to the end of the year, closer to the end of the Bible. It says, all scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So just like God breathed the breath of life into Adam, the very beginning, we believe that the words of the Bible can breathe life into our lives, and it can breathe eternal life into our lives as well when we're encouraged to put our faith in Jesus for our salvation. Excuse me. We believe that the Bible was written by human authors, okay? But that those authors were influenced and inspired by God's Holy Spirit to write down what was written. And when we read those words, God's Holy Spirit influences us as well and inspires us in our life. So that means that for a Christian, any other person or book, news channel, or website has to be seen through the lens of what we know in the Bible. So we can still listen to all kinds of different sources. It's just we have to compare it to the Bible and say, does it match up? Is there something different? And why? Why is there something different? Is it that the Bible just never talked about the internet and that's why? Or is there something about what's in the Bible that could affect how I'm understanding how the internet is used, for just one example? Of course, it's easy to say that we believe what's in the Bible. And I'd say it's probably pretty easy to believe that this is supposed to be our main authority. But the question you have to ask yourself is, do you act like the Bible is your authority? I mean, do you live it out, is the thing. I mean, there are so many huge issues, controversies today for us as Americans, for us as human beings in general. And I think sometimes, a lot of times, the answer to what we're supposed to do isn't always clear, especially with the really big problems. But I have a sneaky suspicion that for many of us who are Christians, who say that this is supposed to be our authority, we aren't even looking at the Bible for guidance, let alone trusting what it says as our authority for how we live out what we believe. So at the very end of Deuteronomy, our first reading today, Joshua makes this statement. He says, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord our God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. He says, if you want to follow God, you're going to find life and prosperity. Joshua literally tells the people they have two paths to choose from. One's going to lead to life, one's not. Okay? If they want to listen to what God says, they'll find life. If they don't listen to what God says, they'll find ruin, destruction, death. To me, the question, it seems sort of obvious. Like, why would you not choose life? But as Christians, God gives us the Bible. I mean, it's full of God's instructions, his commands, and these promises of life. And a lot of times, I mean, this is what it means to be sinners. We literally choose to go against it. We choose a path away from God's will, towards death and destruction. We know it, and we'd still do it. Maybe because everybody else is doing it, you know, or else that's what it feels like. Maybe it's because we read an article somewhere that made us doubt God's word. Or maybe it's just too tempting for us to do something else. But we have to confess that this is sin. I mean, we're going to do this. We're all going to sometimes fall into the sin. But we have to admit it and ask for forgiveness, that this isn't the right path. That we want to learn to live the way that God wants us to. Because we either don't know what's in the Bible, or we don't trust what's in the Bible, or we know what the Bible says, and we deliberately choose to do exactly the opposite. So I want to give you a couple examples where I believe that a lot of Christians in our society today, they know the truth that's written in the Bible, but they're choosing to do the opposite. And by the way, this isn't meant to be judgmental. It's just meant to like show this truth. I think we all kind of know it once you hear him, that we know that this is the case. But I think we all need to confess, like, this isn't actually how God wants us to live. He wants us to live differently so that we'll find that life that he wants for us. So here you go. 69%, 70% of Americans believe that cohabitation, living with your girlfriend or boyfriend, is acceptable, okay? Even when a couple never intends to be married, another 16% would agree that it's okay if they're gonna get married. Only 14% of Americans believe it's never acceptable, that it's never okay for unmarried people to cohabitate. But here's what it says in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 6. I mean, here's the thing, who cares? What does the Bible say about this? Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. See, nowadays, here's the problem. Nowadays, we as Christians seem to be spending a lot of time criticizing non-Christians for what we see as their sexual sins written in the Bible. And there are other sexual sins written about in the Bible, let's be honest. But they see us as hypocrites. Why? Because we're not living in a godly way either. How many sermons do you hear talking about this issue? How many times do you hear a Christian even bring this issue up? 70% think it's just fine. Almost 90% in the end. But the thing is, living in a way that the Bible says is wrong without ever saying it or trying to change it, that's a problem. We're not living in a godly way. So rather than judging other people and spending all our time talking about these other issues, I think we as Christians should really focus on how we can live more in harmony with God's will. Because that's what the Bible's here. It's not for us to judge other people. It's for us to read it and say, what can I change about my life? Here's another example. How much money is too much money? In Christian circles, I often hear complaints about how poor people need to work more and stop being so lazy. Right? Now, there are some scriptures that talk about this, especially in Proverbs, but several places. If a person is not going to work, they shouldn't eat. Okay, this is a really famous one from Thessalonians. And yet, I rarely hear any Christians ever talk about the dangers of wealth. We seem to think that the more money, the better. The richer, the better for all of us. Yet the Bible tells us lots and lots and lots of places that there's a lot of danger that comes with money that we should be aware of. That always chasing after getting more and more is very problematic. In the parable of the sower, we're warned that love for God's word can be choked out by life's worries and by riches and pleasures. Now I hear sermons about how life's worries can get us away from God. But I very seldom hear anyone tell me that trying to be wealthy, trying to get rich, or trying to experience more happiness in life can also lead me away from God. But that's true. It's true. In 1 Timothy, we are warned this. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. See, having wealth is a status symbol in our society. And as Christians, I think we've just accepted that. So I think it should be a status symbol for all of us. But that is not how it's talked about in the Bible. Okay? The Bible says we're supposed to be after things like humility and generosity and servanthood, that's the goal that the Bible lays out for us. And some people who are wealthy in the Bible are living like that, and some people who are poor in the Bible live like that, and some people, it's not whether they're rich or poor, all right? But they're living like that, and that's what we're supposed to be looking for in our lives as well. Now, I wish that I could tell you that putting your faith in what the Bible says is going to make your life easier, but it's not. It's not. It can, however, help you see the world and yourself through God's perspective, okay? Remember that verse from 2 Timothy. All scripture, the Bible, is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness. So instead of imagining how others might be rebuked or corrected if they just read the Bible, I want you to consider that when you're reading the Bible, it's talking to you. It's talking about you. The one who's actually reading it at the time. So when I'm reading the Bible, I say, how is this correcting me? Right? What am I going to learn from what I'm reading right now? How is it training me to live? And I would encourage you to do the same, to read the Bible and say, how is this correcting me and asking me to live my life differently? So how do we practically live according to God's word? Rather than just saying that we believe whatever's written in the Bible. Well, first, you got to read it, okay? You got to find out what's in the Bible, make a plan to do it, join a Bible study maybe, put the Bible app on your phone and read it while you're in the bathroom, because we all bring our phones into the bathroom even though we're not supposed to. I don't care how you do it, but you need to do it, okay? Next, when you're reading it, don't just read it mindlessly and say, oh, I got through chapter whatever. Read it intentionally. So ask yourself questions about what you're reading and how it would affect your life. Imagine that when you're reading the Bible, God wants to influence you. When you come across a passage that makes you feel uncomfortable, ask yourself, why do I feel uncomfortable when I'm reading this? What is it trying to tell me? Finally, ask yourself this question. Is there anything in your life that needs to change so that your life is more in line with what the Bible is talking about? And if you don't want to do that, ask yourself, what's stopping you? What is it? Because maybe that's something that God is trying to point out in your life. So the Bible is inspired by God, and it lays out a path for us to live life the way God wants us to. It helps us to see the world and the problems that we face from God's perspective. So I hope that you begin trusting in God's authority for you, and that it changes not only your mind about how you think about things, but that this book, this Bible, can help to transform our lives and then transform our church and then transform our community and eventually transform our world. Amen.